Amen. Let us pray together. Father in heaven, thank you for our gathering together this morning, whether in person or online. And Father, my prayer this morning is that for many of us, we've come from different situations, circumstances in life. But Lord, we've gathered into this one place to hear from you. Lord, my prayer today is that in some way you will touch our hearts. Many have come this morning to meet with you and end up getting us. So Lord, may Jesus shine through us this morning. May your word be boldly proclaimed this morning. As we've worshiped together, may our hearts have become aligned with yours. So, Father, as we continue in your word this morning, we pray that we would indeed experience you as our conqueror of all things in this life that draw us away from acknowledging your presence, your strength, and the hope that we have in you through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. It is time for the kids to go to Kids Connection. Also, it's time for the youth to go as well. The youth are grade 6 to grade 12. If you're part of that category, you can go downstairs to a special time that you have for learning down there. And again, I want to welcome you, whether you're here in person. I'm going to wave to those of you that are online. Nice to have you here this morning. Good to see you as part of the service. I pray that you would all be richly blessed today as we journey into part two of this sermon series that we started last week called Why Should I Care? Why should I care about whatever topic it is that we've decided to look at for today? Now, here's why this sermon series, I think, is so important, okay? There's lots of things we could care about, but what about the things that God cares about? What kind of priorities should those take in our lives? And I'm going to go even further. It's not only just the priorities that God cares about, therefore we should care about them, but we need to understand the why. We need to understand how do we care about them. To what degree do we, you know, care about these things? For instance, last week we talked about creation. We started on the whole topic of creation. And, you know, as an example, did you know that there's an organization called the Voluntary Human Extinction Movement? They've been in operation for 30 years. 30 years, believe it or not. And their premise is that humanity should just erase itself and let the planet survive. That we are the biggest problem on the planet. Now, they're very careful to say we're not advocating for taking each other out or anything like that. But they say we should do it naturally. We shouldn't. In fact, do you realize this is why many young people are saying, I don't want to have kids? There are a lot of young people who are refusing to have children because of movements like this. Now, I give that example just because when we talk about creation, how important is humanity to God? Humanity is pretty important to God. So that would be kind of a distorted view if you're part of the Voluntary Human Extinction Movement. It's probably a little over the top, if we want to say that in a very way. But this week, we're talking about this topic of justice. Now, I'm going to take us on a little bit of a journey right now because there are so many layers to this topic of justice, okay? And I think most of us would agree this morning that justice is desperately needed in our world. Justice is really needed in our world. You know, early last week, I was looking through the news cycle, and I read about, now this is in the U.S., it's out of the state of Alabama, but I read about a mass shooting there at a Sweet 16 birthday party. And I think some of you read about that. Now, that was troubling to read in the first place, but what really troubled me is what the article said only a few sentences after, that particular mass shooting was number 163 for the year 2023. 163, and it happened on the 107th day of the year. Now that's staggering, isn't it? Absolutely staggering. Do you know that in Canada, our crime rate has risen in the last year by 7%? Do you know that the year before, it rose by 3%? So already, we are seeing a 10% increase in our crime rate in the last 2 years. Now, we are number 16th in the world for a crime rate. Did you know that we were even that? I thought that was pretty high for us, being number 16. We rank 2 crimes for every 100,000 people. The U.S. is 8th. I'm going to give you a whole bunch of statistics, so hopefully you can, this data dump I'm about to give you, hopefully you can understand them. But in the U.S. is number 8, and they rank 6.5 crimes for every 100,000 people. And we are 2 for every 100,000 people. What really bugged me about that particular statistic is that the U.S. has 332 million people. Do you know how many million people we are? 38.25. So we're a little more than 10% of the U.S. So when you take, comparatively speaking, the size of our population, the size of the U.S., we're seeing disturbing trends happening. In fact, did you know that California has 1 million people more? The state of California has 1 million people more than the entire country of Canada in one state. Okay? Now, I just froze the room. I know it. Okay? But it's only, that illustrates this whole topic of justice that we're talking about today. I don't think there's a person that I've run into in the last couple of weeks as I've asked them to say and ask them, do you think this is a very just world that we live in? And everyone to a person has said no. The world is probably getting more unjust as we go. Justice is a huge, huge topic. And, giving you crime statistics is only one dimension of this whole topic of justice. We can talk about social justice, economic justice, I'm going to say emotional justice. All kinds of things, political justice. There's all kinds of, categories that we can talk about. But we're gonna kind of dial it down for you to understand. So if you're a believer here this morning, you know that the topic of justice and God are very intimately related. So I'm going to take us through a few passages this morning and help us to kind of focus in on the biblical understanding of justice this morning. If you have your life group notes, you can follow along. We'll have stuff up on the PowerPoint for you to go through. Also, if you have YouVersion on your phone or your, that app, we have all the material in the YouVersion app as well for you to follow along so you can get all the notes that you need. I'm going to read from you from Isaiah 61:8. And 9. And this is what the prophet Isaiah, thousands of years ago wrote concerning the Lord. For I, the Lord, love justice. Now, Pause there for a moment. Imagine if you ask God, what is it that you love? We can come up with a whole list of things that probably would categorize things that God would love. But here in this particular passage, we're reminded that justice is something that God loves. That when we exercise justice, God is pleased with that. God goes on to say, I hate robbery and wrongdoing. I will faithfully reward my people for their suffering and make an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants will be recognized and honored among the nations. Everyone will realize that they are a people the Lord has blessed. Now, you know, Isaiah is talking to the Jewish people who are in exile right now. And he's reminding them that he is a God that loves justice. And he is going to reinstate the covenant with his people and bring them back into the promised land and all of the promises that are attached with that. But there are times in our lives where we can say, you know, where is God and why isn't life being fair right now? And God is reminding them that in the situation and the circumstances that they find themselves in, that God loves justice. That it may not feel right for them in this present moment, but if there's anything about the trajectory of history and the trajectory of God's purposes for people's lives, is to bring about justice in their lives. The Hebrew word for justice is mishpat. Can you say mishpat with me? Mishpat, okay? That's the Hebrew word for justice. And this word, you know, comes across in so many different ways. It has to do with doing right. Righteousness is sometimes the way it's translated. It's a word that I've lost all my list here. Oh, to be just. And by the way, it even translates as judgment, okay? But it's not judgment in that harsh sense. It's judgment is that you look at something and you see it being an injustice and you call it out. That's the kind of judgment that this word mishpat is related to. This whole beautiful thing where we acknowledge that what is happening is wrong and we want to do the right thing. We want to do the righteous thing. We want to do the correct thing. We want to fix the problem and align with God's justice. Okay? Here's another passage that uses the same word, and notice how it is translated in this particular passage. Micah 6:8. Know, O people, the Lord has told you what is good, and this is what he requires of you. To do right, notice that, to do mishpat, to do justice, to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. Now, can I just say, you see those three little stanzas or those three little phrases, to do right, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Imagine if we took those three things and every person on this planet followed those three things. What difference would it make in the world? None at all, right? Yeah, yeah. Wouldn't it be a dramatic change in our world if everybody did what was right, loved mercy, and walked humbly with God? Justice is this unique characteristic of God. And in fact, it even was one of the characteristics in the early Israelite religion that separated God, Yahweh, from all the other gods, that he was a God of justice. If you know anything about Greek mythology or any of the Roman gods, they were pretty cavalier. They wanted to get their own way. In fact, they were about as sinful as the humans that they aligned themselves to govern. But God Yahweh of the Old Testament and New Testament is a God of justice. Biblical justice is distinct. We find it described in the Bible. God established what true justice is, and it involved everybody. And if we strive for biblical justice in our own lives, we begin to see that fairness and flourishing is what God intended for his entire creation. I have a quote up here, and I just really love it. It comes from the book, The Justice Calling, by Bethany Hang and Kristen Johnson. And I love how they put it. They put it, even before it became clear that justice would be needed to right the wrongs ushered in by the fall, even before injustice entered the world, God loved justice. Now, it's this last line that I think is just really powerful. The flourishing that relates or results from the right ordering of power. Now, think about that. God's intention for us is that we flourish, that life is this abundance, that it's a life that is experienced when the right ordering of power is exercised. How much is the world suffering today because of the misuse of power? How many examples will we have? Whether it's on a personal level, relational level, whether it's at a work level, whether it's at a community level, whether it's at a political level, whether it's nation against nation level, right? The misuse of power in the world that we live in is an invitation to injustice. I don't think I even have that in your notes, but that's kind of like the summation of all of this. Anytime that power is exercised, it invites injustice to partner with it. That's why power is so dangerous when misused. That whenever power is exercised in one way or another, especially the abuse of power, injustice almost invariably becomes part of the equation. You almost cannot avoid it. And that's why in God's kingdom, everything is upside down. Everything is upside down. Everything is reversed. Because God understands what happens when power is misused, abused, that it always has collateral injustice that is attached to it. There's two types of biblical justice that God exercised. The first one is retributive, and the second one is restorative. Retributive justice, obviously, is how God punishes those who have perpetrated wrongs, who continue to hurt others. Passages out of Ezekiel that says that God will not spare the wicked. The wicked will have a time and a season, but God will not spare them. And that is God's justice. Because he is the judge of all the earth, and the Lord will finally give everyone what justice dictates. You know, looking at Acts 17, 30 to 31, passages like that. Restorative justice is obviously how God restores the victims of those who have suffered from injustice. And did you know that the Bible overwhelmingly talks about the restorative justice of God more than the punishment side? God stands against perverting the justice to the poor. God stands against slaying the innocent and the righteous. God stands against accepting bribes. God stands against oppressing the alien, the widow, the orphan. God raises them to a position of honor and well-being, these people that have suffered from an injustice. Okay? So as a summary, God's retributive justice is expressed by his judgment, God's judgment, while restorative justice is expressed by his love and grace. That should be up on the screen pretty soon. that next summary statement. That's the difference between those two. And that's what we see in the Bible, the two different types. But as I said, the restorative justice is what overwhelmingly is communicated in the Bible. Dikaios in Greek is this word that parallels the Hebrew for mishpat. That this idea through two different, you know, cultural languages has the same idea about doing what is right, doing just, expressing justice to people, and what it means to live that out. Now I'm going to walk us through a parable right now, because what we talked about very much in the Old Testament is prominent in the New Testament too as well, when we talk about justice. And we're going to look at Luke 18:1 and walk through this passage, because it's fascinating to me how Jesus used this particular passage to talk about this incredible topic of justice. So Luke 18, verse 1, starting there. One day, Jesus told his disciples a story to show that they should always pray and never give up. Now, notice that line. He's encouraging his disciples. And by the way, these are good Jewish guys who are taught to pray at least three times a day with the Shema and all of that, you know, anything about Jewish ritual. To tell these guys that you got to pray and never give up would have sounded kind of, well, we kind of know that. We do that every day naturally. Jesus is talking about, you know, what is it that we're going to be praying about that should be heavy on your hearts each and every day as part of what you go to the Lord about on a daily basis? So the parable goes, there was a judge in a certain city, and he said, who neither feared God nor cared about people, a widow of that city came to him repeatedly saying, give me justice in this dispute with my enemy. The judge ignored her for a while, but finally he said to himself, I don't fear God or care about people. It's repeated twice. But this woman is driving me crazy. Amen. Somebody said amen. Okay. Yeah, because she got her way, right? I'm going to see that she gets justice, because she is wearing me out with her constant requests. Now, let's not go there, okay? Let's not go there. I know where some of you want to go, but we're not going there. That's unfair. This is a shame pride culture, okay? This is written at a shame pride culture. And the key phrase in this particular part of the parable is that the judge neither feared God nor cared about people. That's how it described the judge. Now, this is really important to take, because you could not go to this judge and say, you've got to do the godly thing, or you got to do what the commandments say, or what the law says, or what the Torah says, or anything like that, because he would just tell you to get lost. He just doesn't care. I have no respect for God, so don't come to me with the God argument, all right? That's what Jesus is saying here. And he didn't care about people. Didn't matter this woman's situation or circumstance, he didn't care. In fact, he could have very easily said, okay, you know, you made your bed, you're going to lie in it, and I, you know, why should I care about your particular situation? Maybe it's your fault in the first place. The woman in this parable is a classic example of the most vulnerable person in society. In the Middle East, women do not show up in court. Men do. And because this is a woman, it tells us that she has no man to represent her. It means she has no husband, no father, no uncle, no one that would represent her in court. She's on her own. the only thing, the only card she has to play is this persistent pleading with the judge. Everything else, nothing else matters. Jesus has set this up beautifully. All the things that you think would matter, you know, the law of the land, the law of the faith, you know, God, the moral backbone of the judge himself, none of that stuff counts. None of it. The only thing this woman has is this persistent pleading, echoing in his mind on a continual basis, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong. Until finally, he says she is driving me crazy. And crazy in the Greek here is when you are so worn down that you just agree to it because you don't have the strength to fight it any longer. Don't have the strength. She has given him such a headache that he decides to do it for her. This is how Jesus ends this particular thing. Then the Lord said, learn a lesson from the unjust judge. Even he rendered a just decision in the end. So don't you think God will surely give justice to his chosen people who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will grant justice to them quickly, but when the Son of Man returns, how many will he find on the earth who have faith? Now, imagine this is the way that Jesus has unpacked this particular parable, challenging the disciples to not give up on justice, to be like this woman, to continually plead to God about the necessity of bringing justice to the world. That is part of our responsibility in a way, not to ignore the injustices, but to at the very least keep them at the forefront of our prayers, because everyone in this room and online, wherever you're hearing this, will acknowledge that injustice in this world is a huge, huge problem. Huge. So here's a couple of points I want to make as we kind of close this up. Power. And I put in brackets corrupt power, because some of you will argue that some power is good, okay? And I will concede that point, but we have to be very careful with it. But corrupt power is a barrier to justice and against God's intent for humanity to flourish. Now, I love that word. I think God's intent for us is that we flourish. However you want to see that, and I'm not talking in a health and wealth gospel kind of way. I'm talking about that our lives are meaningful, purposeful, that we don't experience injustice on a regular basis, that we're not demoralized, you know, declassified as human beings, all kinds of things. God's intent for us is for humanity to flourish. Dave Bast in, I think, an article on Justice and Righteousness, I really liked it. He said, as fairness and flourishing for everybody, so that everybody has a place at the table and a piece of the pie. I like that. That everybody has a place at the table and a piece of the pie. Second point I want to make is we tolerate injustice because we feel helpless. Don't put up your hand, but isn't that a true statement? Isn't injustice so overwhelming in this world? Be it economic, be it social, you know, racial, you name it. Injustice is rampant in a sin-filled world. And we feel helpless to do anything about it. But God calls us to persevere in prayer and faith. Can we just acknowledge that maybe we have set injustice aside because we don't feel like it's not going to make a difference anyway? Can we acknowledge that maybe We need, as a community of faith, begin praying about the injustice that's in our world. We've all experienced injustice in one way or another. And God is a God who wants the kingdom that he has brought to bear on this world to be a kingdom of justice. Amen? We are never to give up on justice. And may that be the prayer of our hearts in order to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ and his kingdom to bear in a world that continues to live by power and the collateral damage of injustice that it brings. Let's pray together. Father, such a large topic with so many layers to it, so many difficulties to acknowledge, so many challenges that lie ahead. And Lord, there isn't a sliver of history that we can't go through that doesn't in one way or another illustrate some kind of injustice, no matter where we are on the planet, no matter where we are in the timeline of history. And yet, Lord, that's not your desire. Your desire is for humanity to flourish. But Lord, we know that there are those in power or those that exercise power to diminish others, to cause strife, to minimize, categorize, and dehumanize others in order for their power to become even stronger. And as we said already, Lord, this wrong ordering of power is often coupled with injustice. And Lord, we know you care about the poor, the disenfranchised, those that struggle under the weight of injustice. And we plead with you today, Lord, to bring relief, to bring hope, to bring your people in line with your heart so that injustice is minimized in any little step that we can take to be a part of what Jesus brought to the world. Lord, I want to pray for maybe someone who is in here this morning or online who is suffering from a grave injustice. And Lord, we pray that you would make it right, that you love justice, that you want your name to be honored, that you want your people to flourish. And today, Lord, we pray for that hope for someone here this morning who's experiencing a tremendous injustice, that you would make it right, that you would bring healing and hope to the situation and allow your justice to come to the forefront, and that your name be glorified. So Lord, we commit this to you this morning, and we thank you that you love justice. In Jesus' name.